Sat's going to come and share the message with us a bit later in the service, and you'll see we have the communion table also laid out, so we'll be sharing in communion as well through this morning's service. But I'd like to now to read to you from Luke 24. Some verses will be on the screen, but I do encourage you to look at your own Bibles, whether they are paper or electronic, and follow it through, and that way you've got your finger on it when Sat is preaching. So in Luke 24, I'm just reading verses 1 through 12, and it's titled, Jesus Has Risen. So on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the two women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanne, Mary the mother of James, and the others with him who told this to the apostles. But they didn't believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Isn't that a marvelous story? I would love to have been Peter. I'd love to have been Peter. To be going about my day, doing my normal day things, and then for someone to come and tell me that story. And the response is to run and find out.
Our Father, just like he is doing, not bothered where he is, not worried what everybody else is doing, but he sees my Father standing up there, and he can, without thinking anything, he can just call Dada with confidence, because he knows he's my Father. And that's what we must have. I had two more things to share before I wanted to start my sermon, but I will jump into my sermon first, and then maybe later, if you can give me some opportunity, Graham, we'll discuss. We'll have a meeting about it. As church, we like to do. But isn't it amazing, him? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. It is such a wonderful truth that we must hold on to every day of our life. You know, hymn writers, when they wrote hymn, almost all, I would say almost all, because in general cases it's not true, or many of these hymns have meaningful backstories. And when they wrote these hymns, these were not just words that appeared in their mind because they wanted to write a song, but this was their testimony. Even the songwriter or hymn writers of this song, Gloria and... Sorry, I have wrong notes open on my iPad here. Gloria and William Gaither in 1971. So this is not a really old hymn that was written centuries ago. It was a recently written hymn. And they were expecting a baby. And that's where the second stanza comes into this hymn, saying that holding a newborn baby. And what's that sound? Angels are going by? Okay. And it was during that time of uncertainties and the situations that were there and the news of war and all that was happening around, it was in that time of uncertainties they wrote this hymn, saying, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. But this was the experience based on the truth that we read in the Bible. It's a wonderful hymn. You know, and when I started thinking about what we should be focusing on as a church family during this Easter season, that was a hymn that came to my mind. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. It's a wonderful truth. Disciples, when they walked with Jesus, knew of this fact that Christ is going to come back. Can I please have my slide? Thank you, Ollie. Christ will come back to life. And yet, in across almost all the stories, their first reaction was of being shocked and not surprised. None of them saw, like, almost none of them saw the empty tomb and said, yes, he is risen. Let me go back and tell others. No. They sat there thinking, oh, what's happening here? What's going on? Till the time they got the message from the angel of the Lord. I was really imagining this. Oh, my imaginations can run really wild when it comes to the Good Friday and Easter. I was thinking of what conversation these two angels might have had on that morning after coming and moving up that big stone from the tomb. They must have sat there thinking, oh, let's go back to heaven now. Our work is done here. The other angels must have said, no, wait, we will have disciples who would not believe what Christ has told them. So we must wait to tell them what has happened. And then the other angel must have said, no, man, they know what God had told them. So nobody's going to come. They would believe that he is going to resurrect. So they are going to wait for him. And how wrong were the angels, because they had women coming to the grave with spices, not with celebration, with spices. For what? To anoint the body. Because that's what you do. Christ died on Friday. It was a long day. They saw Joseph and Nicodemus put Jesus in the tomb. Saturday being Sabbath, they couldn't do anything on that day because you're not supposed to do anything on Sabbath day. So, in the first, as soon as they got the first opportunity, they got up early in the morning to go to the tomb and do what was needed to be done. Why? Because that was the logic. That's the rationale behind it. We must do it. Because he has died, we must do it. That's what we do. None of the disciples, at least what we read in the written records of the gospel, stopped none of them saying, come on, don't you realize that Christ said he would come back to life on third day? Peter wanted to go and see. John went and saw. Mary Magdalene sit at the tomb thinking, oh, what has happened to my Lord? Bless Thomas. He said, till the time I don't see him, I won't believe. So Christ had to come back, cancel all of these appointments, come back and see Thomas and say, Thomas, see, I'm alive. And that is what the disciples' reaction was. They couldn't explain. They couldn't understand. Because logically, that didn't fit in their mind, in their thinking, that this is also a possibility. But these were the very disciples who walked with Jesus. You know, Peter, James, and John experienced the miracle of Jesus telling them, cast your net to the other side. And they had a big catch of fish. These were the same disciples who saw Jesus multiplying the food and feeding 5,000 people. These were the same disciples who stood in front of the tomb where Lazarus was kept. And when Jesus said, Lazarus, come out, Lazarus came out. And he saw, these disciples saw that happening. And yet their first reaction, rather than being joyful and happily accepting straight away what has happened, was wondering and shocked and surprised about why the tomb is empty. You know, we are so blessed to be on the other side of history. I don't want to put myself in these situations of disciples. They were not wrong. In their humanly thinking, their reactions to the whole situation was not wrong. I'm not blaming them that, oh, how bad of theirs. They didn't really rejoice about it. Humanly thinking, you can't expect anything like that to happen. But they gave logic or rationality more importance than their faith. My dear church family, the story of Easter, of with all the little various different things that we can rejoice about and learn about, gives us the biggest reason to let our logic being fueled by our faith and not our faith fueled by our logic or rationalities or our thinkings or our limitations. You know, I have a small question there which says, are we looking for the living among the dead? Are we? And what do I mean by that? Definitely, we're not going to the tomb to see the Christ there because Christ is risen. We know that. But what do I mean by that? You know, many a times we react in a, or live our life in a similar way that the way disciples reacted in the first reaction. We think of, oh, humanly speaking, that's not right. Humanly speaking, I cannot do it. We have our own limitations that we live our life with. And I must say this, if you have heard me preaching, this is something that I repeatedly talk about. You know, we believe in God. And we put that God in a box. We believe in all the great things that God has done, but then we restrict him by our own thinking. That's what disciples did. They restricted what God had told them in their own thinking, and therefore they did not expect him to come back to life. And that's where women went to the grave with spices in their hands, thinking, oh, we must do it because he's in the grave or he's in the tomb. We have accepted the language and the thinking of the world saying, oh, that is not my thing. Oh, I don't feel right about this. Oh, I you know, it really makes me a bit difficult to do or pray for someone or go and talk to someone. And there, the list can go on. You know, I've written a few things there on the list. And list can go on. We can put our own reasons around and say, God, you know, that's me. I'm being defined by the worldly language in this way, you know, and this is the zone I can work in. So please, I want to serve you, but this is my zone. This is my comfort zone, and I will serve you within this. We are not willing for God to stretch us, to enable us to serve Him. You know, I'm happy that the New Testament did not end with Mary Magdalene sitting at the tomb and Peter just running to the tomb to find it empty. But the story continued. And when we see that the same disciples who ran away on Good Friday to save their lives, the same Peter who denied Christ for 3 times, their life was transformed completely when they saw and met the resurrected Christ. Let me ask you this. How has our life transformed? What has changed in our life? What are those aspects and elements which we were able to work on in our life from the time we have met Christ? You know, Peter, if you read the story of apostles, almost all these apostles, all these disciples went on to give their life for Christ. None of them ran away after that, because they knew this, because my Savior lives, I can face tomorrow. Because God can strengthen me to do what I think I'm not powerful enough to do. You know, Peter who ran away, we see in the book of Acts that he stood in front of a great crowd and preached the word of God. What was the difference there, apart from seeing the resurrected Christ? What happened just before that? Sorry? He received the Holy Spirit. Disciples received the Holy Spirit. Everyone gathered there received the Holy Spirit. You know, if you ever doubt that, oh, do I have a Holy Spirit? Just know Christ is risen. And therefore, His resurrection confirms and assures of every promise that God has made to us. Paul, who was a persecutor, met Christ. Not in a way the disciples met him, but he met Christ. And what happened to him? From being a persecutor, he became a persecuted. From running away and finding people who believed in Christ, he became an apostle of Christ who went on to serve him. And the story doesn't end there just because the Bible ended there. You know, we have so many stories to listen to follow and to read and to learn from. And I was thinking about this when I was preparing my sermon, not knowing that we would have the Voice magazine here this morning. You know, sitting here in this chapel or in this church, we have a great story and example to follow of Selina, the Countess of Huntingdon. If you really don't know the story, if you don't know why this church is here, if you don't know why was this established, if you don't like reading a long book, just read this 2-page story of Selina. And what she did. Why? Because she knew my Savior lives. You know, one interesting fact about Selina was she was somehow related to the Washington family. You know the Washington family? The one Washington, D.C. in the United States? That family, she was a family member of that. Nothing that makes her more important. But then she did what she did because she believed that my Savior lives. Dear church family, Jesus is risen. He's not there in the tomb. Jesus is risen. Disciples saw him. And the Bible says that about 500 people saw Christ being resurrected. We don't need to see him to know that he is alive, because we still see him actively working in our lives. We still see prayers being answered. We still see things happen in our lives that we have never imagined to happen. But are we still looking for living among the dead? Are we still putting a Christ in the box saying, Christ, this is my zone and I will serve you in this. This is my zone and this is how I will live my life for you, because this is where I'm comfortable. You know, if you have a long list of excuses, we all know the story of Moses. I really wonder, you know, I some of the stories in the Bible are really amazing. I really wonder, in that desert, he saw this burning bush. You know, and the words, the Bible there says that it was not making any impact on the bush. The leaves were not being withered or something, it says. The basic instinct of fire is to burn things. And this burning bush was not able to burn that tree or that bush. And Moses saw that. And yet, he had enough guts to argue with God and say, God, I cannot do this. No, I cannot do this. God, I cannot do this. And yet, God gave him answers. Yet, God provided him help where needed. Yet, God gave him reasons after reasons to serve him. And when I'm using the word serve, I'm not talking about activities that happen here at the front. I'm not talking about coming and talking from the front. When I'm using the word serve, I'm talking about our lifestyle, 24/7. Serving God or being part of God's ministry is not what you do at the front. This is a part of it. But serving God and living a life for Him is our every step that we take. Jesus has risen. The women went to the grave with spices, or to the tomb, sorry, with spices. What is our approach this morning? As we celebrate Easter once again, what is our response to it? You know, on Monday, Thursday evening, we sat here and spent time meditating or reflecting on the things that happened on Thursday evening. And we focused on the passage where Jesus washed the feet of his disciple. And we spoke about the humility that Christ has shown us, that he has given away everything. In this world where our image matters the most, where the question constantly comes, what would people think? Oh, people can think anything. That this question leads a life. But what is our response to that? A response to the example of humility that Christ has shown. Response to the sacrifice that Christ has made. Response to the resurrection of Christ. Are we still sitting in our comfort zone and saying, God, that's just me. I don't want to go beyond this. I cannot do this. I don't feel right about this. That's not my personality. I don't know if you have spoken with me for the last 10 days or something, but if you have spoken with me and I had some time, I might not have missed talking about my garden. Because I'm spending my time in my garden, I'm putting a lot of efforts and all that stuff. I can give you the list of all the plants that I'm putting in my garden and whatnot and all that stuff. Because it's like, see, I'm doing it. There's a joy in it. But what about our experience with Christ? When was the last time we casually shared with someone what Christ has done for us? You don't have to prepare a 3-point sermon and the application and then the prayer of commitment and then prayer of blessing and say, now you go. Just a casual sharing. You know, Peter, who denied Christ, before he denied Christ, he had this experience, an amazing experience that no one in the world could ever have. And that experience was of walking on water. Put yourself in that situation. Imagine you're in that boat and there's a big storm going around and you can see Jesus standing on water. And Jesus says, Sat, step out. We would bring all our logic, all our rationality, all our thinking, all our human expressions and all that experience and all that, and we'll say, God, no! That's not me. I cannot do that. Peter might have done the same thing. But Christ said, do it. And he did. Did he drown in his first step? No. He was able to walk. He took few steps. And then there's one verse which says, and he got distracted. And then he drowned. But did Christ just allow him to drown there? Fine, you drowned, you got distracted. Not my fault, not my problem. You do it. It's fine, deal with it. You must know how to swim. You're a fisherman. Christ didn't do that. What did Christ do? Christ picked him up. Christ gave him a hand. Dear church family, we need to believe in this God who leads us, who will enable us, who enables us to do things that we think are impossible. Let us not continue to live a life that still looks for a living God among the dead. Let us not live a life that restricts God just because of our own thinking, saying, God, this is me and I am more than happy to serve you and live a life for you till the time it fits into what I am comfortable with. Let us take the step of faith over our experience, our rationalities, our logic, what we think is right in human experience. Let us step out and trust in the Lord that with God I can. Why? Because my Savior lives. Because my Savior lives, I can face tomorrow. It doesn't matter what people would say. It doesn't matter what situations are. It doesn't matter what I'm good at, what I can do, what I cannot do. I can do it because my Savior lives. And that is what Paul told Timothy. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's for you and for me. So as we celebrate this Easter, let's not just take that hymn and say, oh, that was a lovely hymn. Let's just live our life. Let's take that learning. Let's take that step and ask God, God, what is that area of my life where you would enable, help me to transform my life? You would help me to walk out of my comfort zone. You would help me to step out of that boat, even in the midst of that strong storm. But I will live my life that glorifies you, that tells about your love, and that shares how good you are. You know, when disciples met the resurrected Christ, they ran. The two disciples or friends on the way of Emmaus, they did not even bother about the time. They just went back because they had met the resurrected Christ. Church, we have met the resurrected Christ. What are we doing about that? Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and we want to thank you, Lord. Because of your great plan to send your Son to die on the cross and his resurrection, Lord, we can live a life of an assurance that we have a hope that is in you, Lord. But Lord, we many a times live our life confined by our own thoughts, within our own zones, within our own spaces, thinking, that's what I can do. And in that we forget that you are God who is the most powerful God, for whom nothing is impossible, Lord. And Lord, as we celebrate this Easter, Lord, as we think of the experiences that disciples had, their own, the going to this empty tomb and looking at that, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to be involved and getting engaged in that activity of going and looking at that empty tomb, Lord. But to take the good news of your resurrection, Lord, and live our life reflecting that truth. Lord, your word is full of so many wonderful promises. Promises we can trust. Promises we know that have been fulfilled. One of these promises was to send us the Holy Spirit, Lord, which you have sent, Lord. That enables us, that helps us, Lord, to see, to trust, to depend on it, Lord, so that we can live our life the way you want us to live, Lord. Help us to be like Peter, Lord, who stepped out, responding to your call to do what was impossible, Lord. Lord, let our life be a life that shares and shows and reflects your love, so that others would be able to see that you live. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.